Good morning. Glad to see you made it in this blustery weather. We're out from the Steinbach area, so we saw some blowing snow along the way, but we're thankful for safe arrival. We thank the Lord. My name is Peter Berg, and I'd like to welcome each one here and pray God's blessing on you as we've gotten together in church. God's house, as we call it, to worship the Lord, to look into His Word together, to fellowship, to be an encouragement one for another, to think about His call, His vision, the goals He has for us. I want to greet you with some verses out of Ephesians 1. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. I always find these thoughts interesting, how it says He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, He knew us. He had a plan for us, a purpose. And I sometimes ask, different individuals, maybe youth or whatever, where were you before you were born? You know, those kind of questions makes us think. And this here says that He knew us before we were born, before the foundation of the world. And so He has a plan and purpose for us. Let's start with a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for how you have created us, how you have a purpose for us, a plan. And as we look into your word this morning, we just pray your leading through your Holy Spirit, teaching us what you'd have us to learn and guiding me with the words to speak. Guide each one here. And Lord, we bring the prayer requests before you that are on our hearts. You know what each heart is carrying, and we bring it all before you at this time, praying your intervention, your strength, and your leading. We thank you as well for the Sunday school and next another area, our youth and each one involved in our church. We just pray your Spirit's blessing, Lord, in these things. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And we'll start with some songs.
Take your red hymnal and turn to number 395, In the Glory of Life's Morning. 395.
In the glory of life's morning, everything is bright and fair. Lord, in you our lives take over, and for service us prepare. For the cause of Christ our Savior, let us labor all the day, that not ere the task is ended, life's bright sun may pass away. If we love the name of Jesus, let us prove it by our deeds. In the name of Christ our Savior, helping Him who our help needs. For the cause of Christ our Savior, let us labor all the day, that not task is ended, life's bright sun may pass away. May we go in mortal frailty, such eagerness and zest for the cause of Christ our Savior. Let us labor all the day, that not ere the task is ended, life's bright sun may pass away.
I love to tell the story, 396.
3 I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else would do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it seems of glory, I sing the new song. And be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Thank you. I love to tell the story. You know, we hear the Bible stories in church. Our children hear them maybe sitting on our laps as we read the Bible stories to them, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Perhaps we as well grew up in Sunday school hearing the Bible stories, the stories of Jesus. and do those stories just remain a story, or do they become real to us? When does that happen? When do those stories become real? Thank you for that song. It ties in very well here. And I wanted to start off here in Luke 2, the account of Mary and Joseph taking their son to church. Well, they didn't call it church back then. They went to the temple, Passover. But that's kind of what I want to look at today. Teaching our children the stories and the impact those stories should have. But do they always? Do they always? You know, and I may have shared some of these things here before, quite likely, but in working with people, parents or grandparents, often I hear the comment, yes, I'm so thankful that all my children are serving the Lord. But not everyone has that account. Some say, my children don't follow God. You know, I spoke with one elderly lady this past week, and it's almost every time I meet her, she has this, and pray for my sons. And they're wonderful sons, but they don't serve the Lord. And there's disappointment in that. You know, it's something we've grown up with, church and our faith in Jesus. And our hope and prayer is that our children will follow those footsteps. But they don't always. They don't always. So in Luke 2, read about the time when, here, Luke 2, verse 41. I won't read all of this. Well, maybe we can read from 41. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Familiar story, familiar account, Jesus as a boy. And here we can see that Mary and Joseph were successful in passing on their faith. Couldn't we say that here? Of course, this is a special situation, God's own son. And yet they, I'm sure, did their best to teach their son about the faith. And they did well. And again, special circumstance here. We see it in Scripture, how it teaches us to teach our children. You know, very familiar verse again in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's a promise. If you train them up in the ways of God, they're going to stick to it. What if it doesn't? And that's the thing. This is a general principle. And there's many factors involved as our children grow up. And the impact we can have as parents, you know, the schools they're part of, the friends they get, community they grew up in, so many factors involved. And yet we as parents have the main factor in teaching our children. Another example is in 1 Samuel 3, another familiar story, account. It's more than just a story. The account of Samuel, 1 Samuel 3 from verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious or rare in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledst me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called it again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Beautiful story, account. And I probably shared this story here before, but Samuel is already in the church. They didn't call it a church back then. It was a tabernacle. And he's there in the tabernacle serving. But it says specifically, verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. But he was serving in the, call it the church. And that I see is a picture of us bringing our children or grandchildren to church or teaching them the things of God, the stories. And even as, you know, Eli, even as those here were taking care of Samuel, he was growing up there, but there came a certain time when God came down and called the boy. There was a certain time God, we could say, knocked on his heart. And Eli was wise in directing him. You know what? That's God calling you. That's God calling. And this is what we can learn from this. We can do our part in bringing our children to church and teaching them the stories, teaching them to pray. And yet the biggest thing here is, you know, sooner or later God's going to knock on their hearts. And are we going to be able to direct them? Okay, you need to respond. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I'm listening, Lord. I'll follow you. You know, we can teach them songs. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. So how are we doing at teaching our children, our grandchildren? You know, we have a few grandchildren as well, and quite a blessing for us. And this has been on my heart. And so we are intentional, having, yeah, we have other storybooks too, but also Bible storybooks, and reading the stories. Our oldest is a grandson, and I wanted to teach him to pray. And how do you do that? Well, we, At mealtime, maybe you know the prayer, Segne Vater, diese Speise. That's one that we've learned here in the Winkler family. And, of course, he doesn't know German, but he's starting to learn this. But somewhere he was kind of turned off by it and didn't want to pray that prayer. And, well, let's try another avenue. And so we just talked about, okay, what are things, what should we thank God for? Okay, he mentioned some things. Now we can thank him for the food, okay. And we thank him for mommy and daddy and all these people. And he learned to pray in that way. And we didn't even say, you have to close your eyes. Well, that came later. He learned that part. It's our habit, right? We close our eyes to pray. And now he's, you know, it's mealtime and he's the one who says a prayer. Sure, it's kind of the same thing every time, but we're working on it. But we do our part in teaching our children. And then we wait for God. You know, sooner or later he's gonna knock on his heart, he knocks on our children's hearts. And we hope and pray that we have been a good influence in teaching them. That, yeah, when God calls, you respond, just like Eli. He taught Samuel well. He directed him well. And 2 Timothy, another familiar verse. Second Timothy 3:14-15, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul is writing to Timothy here, and we understand it's a senior pastor speaking to a younger leader. And he's saying, you know, think about the scripture you've learned. Think about the verses. Think about the stories. What does God have to teach us in them? And God does teach us through his word. God teaches us through teaching of our parents or teachers or ministerial and so on. And when our children, what happens at your house? If you have children in Sunday school or maybe grandchildren, and they come home and say, look, I got this verse to learn. And how do we as parents promote that? We could say, okay, well, why don't you go to your room and learn your verse? Right, we could say that. Or is there a better way to do it? Come sit down by me and we'll learn it together. That'd be a challenge. Your children are learning verses, why don't you learn them together with them? Learn them together with him. Wouldn't that emphasize more to them the importance of what those verses say? Oh, even mom and dad want to learn this verse, or grandma and grandpa. Learn together so they can see that this is important to mom and dad as well. Talk about the verses, what they mean. Ask what they learned in Sunday school. Talk about it. And try to incorporate scripture and what can we learn from these verses, from these stories. I think I'll pause here. It's almost time for a song and prayer. Then we'll continue afterward. But have a prayer request. And it says, a special prayer request for Brandon and Natasha Wheeler of Plum Coulee. Brandon is suffering from an aggressive cancer that has spread to his liver, and doctors have not given him much time. Brandon is mid-30s with two small children at home, another on the way. Pray for strength and healing for him and the family. And these are those real life things, right? Illness, disease, trouble. And if we can pray for one another and encourage one another, and whatever things are that people struggle with and need help with, that is so important. And this is one example we can pray for. So for this and for any other situation, I invite you to kneel with me for a time of prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let's take your blue hymnals and turn to number 156, The Light of the World is Jesus. 156, for those that are able, let's stand.
In the darkness of sin, the light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, it's shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light that's shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. In darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, it's shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, it's shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
Thank you. Many thoughts came to me in reading the words of that song. I'll give a whole message on its own. I wanted to continue here with another story, another account we find in 2 Chronicles 24. Joash, remarkable story, and this is a guy who was quite young when he became king. It says here, I'll start from verse 1, 2 Chronicles 24 from verse 1, and Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. Any of you have 7-year-old children or grandchildren? Would you nominate them for our next prime minister? Probably not, right? They'd have to grow up first. But why was a 7-year-old, why did he become king? Well, that's another story too. But he grew up in a wicked, under the wicked reign of his grandmother, and who had killed all the royal heirs. If we back up a little bit, 2 Chronicles 22, verse 10. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so she slew him not. And he was with him, hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. So he grew up in this oppressive, under the oppressive reign of his grandmother. The way I understand it, it was his grandmother. And eventually Jehoiada the priest said, okay, now it's time to get rid of this woman and put the rightful heir on the throne. So Joash began to reign at the age of 7. And back here in 2 Chronicles 24. And he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. So this is what I want to focus a little bit on. Joash did right all the days, all the time that Jehoiada was a priest. So Jehoiada was obviously a mentor for him, a guide. And I'd understand Joash would go to him for counsel. And he was a godly leader, godly guide for Joash. In the account in 2 Kings, I won't turn to it, but there in 2 Kings 12, verse 2, it says, all the days that Jehoiada instructed him. It specifically mentions how Jehoiada instructed him, mentored him. Now, if we go further, 2 Chronicles 24, we skip down to verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old, was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance, or they bowed down to the king. And the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. So notice what happened. As long as Jehoiada was there. He was a good king. But Jehoiada's gone, his godly mentor. Then he listened to the godless counsel of his friends, probably, the others. And they turned to idol worship. So it makes me wonder about that relationship. Did Joash just serve God to please Jehoiada? Was it never from his heart? I wonder. And how does that apply to us and our children? Do our children just go to church and read devotions and pray just because mom and dad tell them to? Or are they doing it of their own will and volition? Something to think about as we go on here. Verse 20, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest. Now look at this. Jehoiada's son now goes and talks to Joash, or he talks to the people, which stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. A horrible turn of events. And God punished him for that, as we can see later on if we read the rest of this chapter. But if you research this a little bit, who was it that rescued Joash? Jehoshabeth, Jehoiada's wife. Jehoshabeth, Jehoiada's wife, rescued Joash. Now Joash had whose son killed? I understand it would be Jehoshabeth and Jehoiada's son killed. He repaid by killing the son of the one who had saved him, the way I read this story. So quite an awful turn of events. How could that be? And to come back to the question I asked before, did Joash just serve God because Jehoiada told him to? I wonder. And again, to our own children, do our children just serve God because we pressure them? Do we pressure them? You know, we encourage them to come to Sunday school. But are we so overbearing that inside they would say, no, I wouldn't really want to do this, but mom and dad are telling me to, so I'll do it? Or do we give them some space so they can decide for themselves as well? I know it's a tricky, touchy area. But we want our children to continue in serving God, and so they need to make some of their own decisions. And we need to allow them. We need to allow them and encourage them to choose what is right. But we can't make those decisions for them. And that's what I'm getting out of this story here. Because in the end, when Jehoiada was gone, we see Joash did not continue in serving God. I read a quote from a psychiatrist, Lee Bishop, talking about the rejection of faith, why children as they grow up reject the faith. And often it has to do with trauma. If they've had a bad experience in the faith, in the church or wherever, in the family probably, abuse can turn them away from God. And this quote, he says, the faith of childhood is a simpler faith. And we can see that, you know, our children, I think of our grandchildren, just a simple faith. Yeah, they're saying, Jesus loves me, this I know. But does that faith continue when they grow up? Is the question. So he says, a faith of childhood is a simpler faith. If they don't have the resources externally and internally, as they mature, they will find their childhood faith inadequate and reject it. So in other words, they're growing up and they come to difficult things in life. And if they don't have the resources, if their faith isn't strong enough to get past whatever the difficult thing is, to work through it, oh, my faith can't help me, I may as well get rid of it. That is a sobering fact, I would say. That is one reason children don't stay in the faith. They weren't grounded enough. They didn't have enough firm foundation. And that is where we as parents, again, come in to teach our children so that, yeah, they have a child, you know, they come to Sunday school, youth, great. But what about after that? Will they have the foundation to continue in the faith? And we need to pray for them. In one area, I read a statistic, maybe you've heard this before too. What do they see in us as parents or grandparents? One survey, a Touchstone survey it's called, they surveyed people as they grew up, youth as they grew up, to see how many of them continued in the faith. Let's say they were part of church when they were young. How many, what percent continued in the faith as they grew up? One interesting they found is that of those that were brought to church just by mom, and again, this is not putting mom down at all, she's doing what she can, 2-3% continued regularly attending church. There were many that attended irregularly, like 37%, but the regular church attendance in the survey was only 2-3%. And part of the same survey, if it was the dad, just the dad bringing them to church, 44% continued in the faith. Again, not a put down to the moms, but there's just something about children, they look to their dads as their example. So now the question is, who is it that brings your children to church? You know, do we as dads, are we doing our part? Do we as dads do our part in praying with our children, sharing scripture, stories with them? You know, it's an important thing. We as dads have a very important role. See, the wives, the moms, you know, they'll step in already. But we as dads need to do our part. We need to do our part. Children tend to follow the example of their dad. Just mind how I see this. Then I want to go over to example of Peter, the apostle, in Mark chapter 1. Mark 1, verse 16 and 17, Jesus is calling the first disciples. It says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Familiar story, familiar account. Call of the first disciples. And they continued with Jesus, these two along with a number of others. And it continued. Now later on in the ministry, I'm here now in Matthew 14. Matthew 14 from verse 22. And straightway, or right away, as Jesus constrained them, or he asked his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. All he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. It is the middle of the night. Fourth watch is between 3 and 6 a.m. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit, it's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But straightway, right away, as Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Familiar story. And I'm tying it again into what I was sharing before, to our children, grandchildren. You know, the time will come when it's their turn to step out of the boat, to step out of your home into the wide world around them. And will they walk or will they sink? And we see how Peter's example teaches us that he needed to keep his eyes on the Lord. He needed to keep his eyes on the Lord. And when he took his eyes off the Lord, he sank. Our children won't always be in our home. They'll eventually set out. And our prayer is that they will choose wisely. In the meantime, we pray for them. We teach them while we can. And again, in a way that is not pushy, that they are deciding on their own to serve God. And that it means for us to give them space at times to make those decisions. Yes, we don't want to see our children fail. We don't want them to make bad decisions. And yet, as part of growing up, we won't always be there holding their hand. They'll eventually step out of the ship and head on their own. So what is our example? What is our example? I have a story out of Voice of the Martyrs. And this happened in Romania. It says, after the Soviet communists took over Romania, they hunted Germans as Nazi sympathizers. So if you understand the story here, during the time the Germans were occupying Romania, the German people in the area had it good. Now the Germans were pushed out by the Russians. Now the Germans had it bad. So the Russians, the communists were there and they were hunting Germans. You know, you helped the Nazis. You were on the Nazis' side. And there's a story of one woman, Anutsa Moyes. She had provided a hiding place to people who were fleeing. She provided a hiding place to the very men who had hated her for being a Jew and a Christian. When she offered to help hide these men from the communists, they couldn't believe her offer was genuine. Don't you remember, we are the ones who put you into prison? One asked, of course I remember, says Anutsa, but I am a Christian, and God does not permit me to hold a grudge. I have forgiven you, and now I have the chance to help you. Jesus loves you, so I will love you also. Her love amazed them, and many were won to Christ by her example. And this is a point I was just bringing out in this story, how the example we leave is such an impact to those that are watching us, our children, others in the workforce that we work with, they watch us. Are we drawing people to Christ through our example, through our patience with others, through our willingness to forgive and to work things out? What is our example? May it be one that draws people to Christ. Even as we sang, the light of the world is Jesus, and Jesus has called us to also be a light. Let's close with a prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the stories of the Bible, and that they are more than just stories. They are true accounts, things that had happened, things that show the foundation of our faith in you, Jesus. Guide us, Lord, in being that example for our children so that they will want to follow our example, follow you, Jesus, not because we're telling them to, but because they want to. Guide us in pointing them to you in those times when you are knocking on their heart's door. Guide us in teaching the stories, in bringing them to church, in guiding them as we can, that you might just lead us on how to do that. We thank you for this church here in Winkler and all of our churches and our conference. We pray you continue to guide each one as we seek to serve you, follow you. We pray for our government leaders. We have this concern about this Bill C-9 and other things that the government pushes, and pray that you might work in those situations and guide us in our part in praying and acting as you would lead us. Pray for our schools where our children go, that there may be teachers that teach what is right. We pray for countries where there's persecution, where Christians are tortured or imprisoned and so on, that you'd help them to also shine their light as a witness for you. Guide us, Lord, individually, as I'm sure each one has something on their heart. And help us to bring those things to you. You might lead us with health issues or struggles, depression, loneliness, grief, whatever it is, Lord. We bring those things to you, and I pray that you might just minister to each one and those needs that are in their hearts. Guide us again, Lord, we pray, and I just thank you for your leading with this message. I just pray your blessing on each one as we go. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we again want to go to the Lord in prayer. So for those that are able, let's kneel for prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Take the blue book and turn to number 349, I Am Resolved.
Hasten so glad and free, Jesus.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Peter, for bringing us the wonderful message this morning. Also, thank you for the song leaders and pianists for leading us in singing. Just a few announcements this morning. As you've seen in the bulletin, baptism classes. For those that are anticipating baptism this spring, we invite you to attend baptism classes in the prayer room Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. beginning February 10th. We will be meeting once a week for approximately 10 weeks. Any questions, please contact Deacon Jake Bickert and Reverend Jake Hyde and Bishop Ken Funk, and their phone numbers are in the bulletin. And then there's also the insert in the bulletins that's coming up this week, which is Marriage Enrichment Services. Lord willing, we are planning to host John Elias, a teacher and counselor at Peace Recovery Center at Peace River, Alberta, for 4 evenings the week of February 2nd to the 5th. Each evening will start at 7 p.m. with 2 sessions per evening. There will be an intermission between the first and second session, and we plan to conclude by 9 p.m. So, and also in the insert, there's the back side of it, which kind of has what's going to be spoken on the topics per each evening. And then just in the back of the bulletin, the prayer list, prayers and condolences for Pete and Eva Redicup and John and Deb Giesbrecht and the extended Giesbrecht family on the passing of John's dad, Abram Giesbrecht. Bill and his young family, his wife Amarantz, passed on to be with the Lord in November. Jake and Chris Clausen and family, thank you for praying for us. We ask for your continued prayers for peace and God's will be done. Chris has been diagnosed with ALS. Our God is a God of miracles. Anne Neufeld, please pray for peace and comfort, and also pray for all ministerial and families. Also pray for the Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, and anyone who's leading in church, actually. And also let's pray for all the government leaders. And this last week, on Friday, we had an election, or elections, in McGregor. We elected one minister. We also elected one deacon. So I'll just read as written. The church has been blessed once again, and prayers are requested. Friday, January 30th, 2026, in McGregor, the following men were elected to positions within the ministerial. Deacon Peter Friesen was elected to minister. John Swatsky was elected to deacon. Please lift up these two men, and their wives and their families in prayer. So let's keep all these folks in the prayers, not just Peter Friesen, who's elected as minister, but also his wife Angela, and also with John Swatsky, who's elected as a deacon, also keep his wife Cora. Keep the wives also in your prayers. Thank you, and have a blessed Sunday.
Thank you, Brother Henry. I was one that was in attendance at the ministerial election, and it was a wonderful evening to gather with the brethren, and some of the women came later on as well. They had been in the Sunday school area that evening as well. And quite a step to take, and that we can pray for those families and also others that are in that elected position. I'd like to thank you for joining us in church this morning. and to close with a benediction. Familiar words out of Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And so go in peace with the Lord.